from Fox Sports. He used to cover the New York Football Giants, but now he's a big shot. He's Mike Garofalo, and Mike, you've been busy all day. I haven't seen anybody run around more than you.
He's a big shot.
He is a big shot.
Big shot.
I was running around because I had to use the facilities. I mean, I know you said I had to go check something out. I appreciate you covering for me, but look, I mean, it's cold outside, and I was just sitting in on the NFLPA meeting.
How'd that go?
You don't want to know. The agents are complaining about 1%. They're charging 3%. They might knock it down to 2%. An hour and a half of listening to that, we could have knocked it out in 5 minutes. But the NFL salary cap, according to Damaris Smith, which is why we were there, NFL salary cap going to be about $154 million plus per team. So that's going to be another $12 million per team over last year.
Okay.
So the teams that have an enormous amount of salary cap space, like the New York Giants, are going to have even more to spend here. So it should be a spending spree. And you're going to see some guys that are going to get deals, and you're going to say, how did that guy get that deal? But there's more money going around these days.
Too many money, and not enough players, right?
And well, yeah. And a lot of guys re-upped within the last year. You saw a lot of contract extensions before the start of the season. Now
look at the Eagles.
And the Eagles, I just wrote a story on Howie Roseman. You know, he was part of that spending spree in 2011 when they – had the dream team.
The dream team.
That was more,
not the Asamoah, those guys.
That was actually turned out to be a nightmare. And that's a line that I've used multiple times. I use it again today in the story. But the point was, he spent the year where Chip Kelly was in charge of personnel talking to people in other sports, people that run championship organizations, to see how they do things. And one of the things they said, it's not about just going out and get the guys that you think are the best players. It's about chemistry. It's about building a team. It's about building a franchise. So he got into the seat and all of a sudden started to do that right away with, let's lock these guys down now, which they used to do years ago during the early part of Andy Reid's regime, and that led to a lot of success. So they seem to be on the better path now with that.
We were just talking about, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword right now because you've got the Giants and Giants fans excited about the Giants having a lot of money in free agency. But unfortunately, this is a year that the big-name guys that potentially Giants fans would love to see come to New York and put on a blue uniform, are the Von Millers that a lot of people think will get tagged, the Alshon Jeffrey who will more than likely work out a deal with Chicago. Mm-hmm. So kind of share with us some of the guys that are kind of not the household names yet that you think the Giants might fancy, that they're on the verge of really making a name for themselves in the NFL that you think could end up here in New York.
Well, now you're going to get guys now who, I mean, there's a reason that they hit the market. And part of the reason is that they don't have those measurables, those Von Miller type things, Alshon Jeffrey, the big body. They're guys who maybe aren't as, you know, sensational of players. Because if you have a guy like that, you don't let him go. And that's why I thought it was ridiculous. You started to hear Alshon Jeffrey might not get tagged. You got to be kidding me. Now, with Jeffrey, it's actually going to help him because his value is in the $10 to $12 million range. He's going to wind up getting $14 million in change on the tag. But the point is, you've got a guy like Jeffrey, you got to pay him. You got to tag him. You can't let him go. So now you're talking about guys like, let's say, Tayshaun Gibson, who a safety for the Browns who had, you know, what, 6-7 interceptions? A
couple years ago, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of people said, well, maybe he was just in the right spot at the right time. And if you look at the tape, he's not that, you know, Eric Berry type player, another guy who's not going to hit the market, would get tagged. And so now you're going to get those guys who are out there who, again, who maybe aren't household names, but they can certainly contribute for a team and capitalize on that success. And I know Mohamed Sanu has been connected with the Giants before. That's another guy who, you know, he's a reliable player. He has made big plays in the past. He's a versatile type of guy. He even can throw the ball a little bit.
That's true.
And by the same token, the Bengals are looking at it saying, well, he's not A.J. Green, so we're not going to pay him a boatload of money. We've got money to spend elsewhere. So that's a guy who could be on the market. And look, they need a reliable second receiver. And we thought Reuben Randle was going to be that guy, and he hasn't been that guy for them. And he's another guy who is on the market. I'll be interested to see what happens with him because a lot of people may see that he was a productive guy. But when the production doesn't go up in that contract year, that's when I start to get a little bit wary of a guy because it should go up exponentially in a contract year. Saw that with Josh Norman, by the way, cornerback, another guy getting tagged. He's not going anywhere. He's asking for a ton of money, by the way. He wants, if you shut down half the field for much of the season, and the only game that he really struggled was the game after, not struggled, but didn't play his best, was the game after the Odell
game.
Right, and I think that was in his head, and I think that affected him that week there. So these are some of the guys. I love the Muhammad Wilkerson talk. I think he would make a ton of sense for the Giants, and frankly,
is he getting tagged?
I believe so. And tag and trade is definitely a possibility with him.
Really?
And I think these teams overvalue these draft picks.
What's the price for a guy like that?
Now you're hearing guys say maybe a second round. If it's a second round pick, you can have my second
round
pick.
Well, a second round and a first round pick are two totally different conversations.
But then you also have to pay the guy, too.
Well,
so
obviously,
it's not
right.
like you're just going to get the guy for a second round pick and you got him for 3 years and then you have to redo him. You got to give up the second round pick and then you got to pay him an inordinate amount of money. Now, the Jets have Damon Harrison that they need to worry about, but they also have got young guys, Leonard Williams and Sheldon Richardson, who they might wind up paying down the line. So when you're dealing from a position of strength, and I know Ernie, of course, he used to say you can never have too many pass rushers. A lot of people say you can never have too many defensive linemen, period. You can use this currency to build down the line. Now, if it's a second-round pick, to me, if I'm the Jets, that's not enough. Because if I'm another team, you want a second-round pick, you can have my second-round pick. I mean, these teams overvalue. I love the way the Seahawks roll. And sometimes they do it. I wouldn't have done it for Jimmy Graham. They just give away these. You know what? We know what we've got. We're trading for a proven commodity. We don't know what this draft pick's going to be. I would be more like that as a GM, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
In talking to, I mean, I've been here one night, and I've already got a ton of, mm-hmm. of information. I think that's because you're you. But that's, no.
Yes.
No, I think that's just the great thing about being. I've said this before. If somebody was to say to me, Anita, you can only attend one event.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, Combine, or Draft, which one would it be? Hands down, sure. It would be Combine.
Or
hands down. The information that we gain here. Just from, like, running into a head coach on the street or at a restaurant and just striking up it's to me, the time here is priceless. So I've already here one night. I've got a ton of information. I'm curious who you've spoken to and in regard to the draft. Who do you think is going to be off the board early? Who do you think realistically will be available to the Giants at 10?
That's two different questions because now you're even talking about a guy like, let's say, Jalen Smith, who would have been, if not the first overall pick, in
top three, whatever.
You know, in discussion as the first overall
pick. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And now coming off that injury, now that makes him potentially available. And I would think that if he's there at 10, they take him. Just an impact player.
I mean, his production in college is so off the charts.
Yeah, is it going to be a redshirt first year? I mean, are you going to get anything out of him? You know, I know that they're talking about he may be ready for – I don't believe that he'd be ready for week one.
I mean, that would be like an eight-month rehab.
Yeah,
I mean, that's so crazy.
I don't buy that. But you know, when you're drafting, you're not drafting for next year. Now,
no.
I do think that there's going to be a bigger mix of need than we usually see from the Giants, and I think maybe that's a little bit overrated how much they don't draft for need. Because it's been mixed in there at times, and we saw that.
Sure
when they
has.
Took, you know, I fell victim to that in what year did they take David Wilson?
David Wilson, 2012. That's correct.
So I think you're in front of the camera. You're in front of the camera.
That's Ian Rappaport.
That's Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network.
Who you will see on Giants.com later on today, by the way.
Who should know how a camera works. Look at this. You're scaring the people.
It's a nice tie, though.
I have no idea what I was talking about. You're going to have to remind
You're
me.
You're on David
Syracuse?
Wilson's story.
Right. So they mix in need there. And that year, I said, well, they don't draft running backs in the first round. Well, they needed a running back.
Well, I think you look at Eric Flowers last year, too. It goes into the same category.
Yeah, I do. And you know what? I think that's going to wind up being a good – now, here's one thing about Eric Flowers. These other draft picks that the Giants have had, Odigizua, Demontre Moore, these defensive ends who are supposed to develop – those guys didn't develop, and I think that actually hurt Eric Flowers because he wasn't going up against that pass rush in practice.
Interesting.
And he didn't get Jason Pierre-Paul in practice. I'm sorry, I'm not going to
say wrong.
He didn't get Jason Pierre-Paul in practice early on. And I still think he had a very good rookie season, and I still like what I see out of the kid. But he could have been even further along. I believe that. I really do.
All right, I want to touch on the offensive line because Kohler yelled at me. I haven't asked enough questions about it. So
okay,
I'm going to ask
you. I'm talking
you.
Too much.
Well, no, here we go. And I have to ask everybody about the defensive free agents. The Giants, though, right now, you know, let go two guys that were offensive line starters, Jeff Schwartz and Will Beatty. So on the right side of the line, they still have Marshall Newhouse and John Jerry, who played last year. How do you see them approaching the offensive line, and what guys are out there in free agency that could fit that need at right guard or right tackle?
Yeah.
Or do you think they're going to stick in house? What do you think?
No. I think they make a move, and I think that there's a reason that signaled that they were going to make a move to be letting those guys go as early as they did. And frankly, there are options to be had at guard in free agency if they get there. You know, Kelechi Osemele.
From the Ravens.
From the Ravens.
Excellent.
Now they have – I saw something today that said they've made him a decent offer. They have made him a decent offer. But my sense is they think they can even kill it even more in free agency, his camp. So if he hits the market, the Giants have the money to spend. I mean, the Giants have the money to spend. And they have been willing to – Kareem McKenzie comes to mind.
That's
not
a good
that,
one.
Not that they overpaid for him.
No, not at all. He was
time,
a great player.
They backed up a Brinks truck for that guy. I mean, it was a $7 million per year deal in 2005,
right.
I believe was the year, okay? And they did it for Chris Canty on the other side of the ball, too. When they really need a guy, they're willing to not overpay, but pay. And and these guys know that. And J.R. Sweezy's another guy. There's a lot of buzz about him hitting free agency. He may be a guy that
– interesting.
And the Seahawks don't – they won't pour that kind of money into a guard. They've got it. They've got other issues elsewhere.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the Ravens offensive linemen, and that's really not a situation that you see Ozzie Newsome in that often. But when you've got a team that goes out and pays their starting quarterback $20 million, and then he invested a lot of money in Dennis Pitta, that obviously that hasn't panned out. Mm-hmm. Some of the decisions, unlike Ozzie Newsome, that how it's panned out, it's a situation that I think the Giants could take advantage of.
Yeah, it's a pivotal point for that organization,
it
by
is.
The way. It really is. And John Harbaugh's got the Super Bowl ring, but they need to get that consistent success going again. I could see there were already a little bit of – there were some questions out there about it, which I thought was way too early this past season. But I think if they don't succeed down there, I don't know why I'm talking about the Ravens. You mentioned them.
Well,
just,
no, because
that was a thought
I no,
that I
because
had,
no, because
that,
I think
yeah.
no, because I think that's an offensive lineman that I think.
Yeah.
I don't be surprised. And
yeah.
We had Mark Dominic, who was on not too long ago, and he said one of the questions you have to ask in free agency is, why is this player available?
Right.
Yeah.
Why is this player and that's why I went into an explanation regarding to what's going on with Baltimore and Ozzie in the situation that they find themselves in.
And there's sometimes. Or not sometimes. This year in free agency, again, I think the value is there at the guard position. You can actually get some guys. Jari Evans is going to be in the – I mean, Jari Evans is making a ton of money. Now, he's not going to be a guy you're going to rely on for 4 years. I mean, maybe just one or two. But they've got a couple options there where they can go with more of a long-term plug or a guy – not a long-term, a long-term – or a guy who can plug for 1 to 2 years.
Also, Jeff Schwartz's brother in Cleveland. They have a lot of money invested in that offensive line. It's too much money in an offensive line.
Alex Mack is going to opt out. He's waiting till after the franchise tag period, their center, because if he opts out, he can get tagged. But he could do that now. A lot of people were mistaking. He can't do it until the end of the free agency period. No, he can do it now. He's waiting till then.
Interesting.
So he's going to opt out. Now, they want to keep him.
Does he only re-sign, 2 years ago, I think?
He did, but there was an opt out after 2 years because they're the Browns. Now, they did. Remember how they did that. He had, the transition tag? So he went to Jacksonville, and they signed a deal. And Jacksonville willing to take a swing.
I remember that.
And they said, okay, well, we want an opt-out in there just in case Cleveland matches so we can get out of there. So we'll make good money for 2 years, then we can get out of there. So that's why he's going to be on the market now.
Interesting.
And again, there's a shot Cleveland re-signs him. And then if they do, that would Mitchell Schwartz would have no shot.
So funny. I feel like we're just sitting at a bar having some beer.
It's fun that way.
We're not having beer. I'll have beer if you want.
I know. We're
and
having
I'm
water,
not dressed up. I didn't know there was going to be a camera. I thought this was a radio show.
Not dressed
I screwed
up.
That up. But look at this guy.
Oh, he always dresses up.
Well, he's a classy guy. Now people are going to think I'm some schlub. I didn't even shave.
You might be the first person to ever call me a classy guy, and I appreciate
schlub.
That, Mike. Defensively now.
Yeah.
Giants have 3 big free agents. Give me your take on what the market's going to be like for JPP, Ayers, and Prince. And then with the other big names out there, you know, the Giants are probably going to have to strike pretty quick here. Where do you see them kind of looking when they get to the free agency period in March on defense?
Start with JPP.
That's the same reaction I get from everybody when I ask that question.
Because what I'm about to say, I don't believe. His camp, from what I heard, thinks that he can get $10 million a year plus.
What?
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Now, it could happen. I mean, people have money. They have to spend money, and they may believe that this guy was getting better as the season went on, and even though he didn't play early in the year because he hadn't had those reps yet, now you're seeing the guy that's finding a way to play with the hand. I think that's a lot of money.
And, of course,
more money than I would pay.
How that $10 million per year contract is structured
in
terms of
that.
Guarantees
is
all different,
I get
too,
that,
right.
But when they say that, they mean that in the traditional
in
sense.
In the traditional sense,
structure of, let's say, a 4 years, $40 million with close to 20 in guarantees. It would be something like that.
Gotcha.
That would be the traditional money. I think that's a lot of money. If somebody paid that, they'd have a hard time explaining that to their fan base. But if they think he's going to get there, then maybe he can get close to that. I don't see the Giants going there right now, to be honest with you. And maybe he's got to play on another 1-year deal. Maybe that's a possibility. Who else?
Prince and Ayers. Those are the two guys.
Interesting. Interesting what you're hearing from Princey, and we had Mark Dominic on not too long ago, and he said that there's not a lot of buzz out there with Prince. Are you hearing the same thing or something different?
No, not a lot of buzz, just because buzz is reserved for guys like Josh Norman, who are going to hit, you know, maybe $14, $15 million a year. He's not going to be in that category. I like Prince. I think he's a terrific player. I think he deserves $10 million a year. I mean, somewhere $9 million, somewhere in that range. I mean, I'd certainly pay him for that. He's got to stay healthy, but, you know, last year was a fluke thing with the pec. I don't have any real concerns about his durability. And I think he's been much more, strong-minded, you know.
Strong-willed, perhaps.
Strong-willed. And that was the knock on him. That's why he got thrown in a hot tub, okay? Because they thought he was this weak guy that they needed to toughen up.
Definitely this year.
He wishes it was a hot tub, by the way. It was a cold tub.
It was a cold tub.
What did I say? Cold tub. Hey, exactly,
but,
right.
But this year, more so than any other, like I think we really did see a leap in regard to maturity and leadership in that locker room. And I think a big reason why was, A, he got married, he started a family, and B, he needed to.
I'm extremely impressed with how he's come along.
Mm-hmm.
There was a game I covered, and I'm blanking on the game. I used to be so good at this.
Are you getting old, Mike? It happens to all of us.
No, it's just because I cover other teams now. he made a break on a ball. It was deep in the opponent's territory, and he diagnosed the play. And I believe he freelanced a little bit. He told me after the game, but you know he saw what was going on. He made a break on the ball. So
he jumped the slant.
It was deep in. It may have been the Patriots game.
Okay,
maybe I'm mistaken that, but he made a break on the ball and he diagnosed it. And I watched it from where we were in the press box. I can see it from his vantage point. I was really impressed with how he diagnosed that play. So, you know, maybe not a lot of buzz from the standpoint of breaking the bank, but I think that's a valuable guy that would be valuable to a lot of teams. And they would love to re-sign him, and maybe they do right against the buzzer there. Now, his agent is Todd France, who's known to take teams to the wire. I'm not surprised that a deal hasn't been done at this point. He will push it. Matter of fact, he was the last draft pick to sign that year.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, he was, because he held out. It was the first year after the lockout. And it was like they were arguing over a percentage point of a guarantee. It was something ridiculously small. And he held out. He was the last guy to sign for that because of his agent, Todd France, and that's the way he works. If he can get 10 cents, he's going to try and get 10 cents, not settle for 8.
And then finally, Robert Ayers, not the biggest name, but a lot of production.
Had a great year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to me, if he was your second pass rusher,
you had
Jason Pierre-Paul coming in, the normal Jason Pierre-Paul with him, as a compliment, I think he's a terrific player. But they needed him to be the top pass rusher. He did step up his game. I was very impressed. I think he'll do well in the market, you know, somewhere in the $5, $6 million range.
And how about guys that aren't in the Giants on defense that you think they might be gung-ho about, you know, throwing some ducats at?
Yeah, I think, you know, safety-wise, you know, I mentioned Gibson. I think I could, you know, now the Giants hold their cards close, so there's not a lot of indications right now where they're going.
That's another thing I've heard from a lot of different people this week, by the way.
But I think they need to go for a safety for sure. And I could see Gibson being that guy. Even if, you know, look, they signed Antrell Roll later in his career. And maybe you go for an Eric Weddle, who I think Dallas is in on Weddle, by the way, pretty sure. But I love Weddle. I think they need some leadership on that defense. I think you could certainly bring that with some excellent play.
Mike?
But I'm just throwing a dart on that one.
Fantastic. I appreciate it. Great stuff, my friend.
You got it.
Good to see you.
I'm going to go use the restroom again.
Mike Barrafolo, Fox Sports, thank you for joining us.